brought to you by Sherco. Whether it's snow, land, or disaster management, the Sherco Group is the service partner for all seasons. This is White Gold. Make more money plowing snow with your host, Levi Jett.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the White Gold Podcast. This is season 3, episode 2. And if you heard some snickering in the very, very beginning, it's because I'm joined by a bunch of girls and just really immature people today. So as we did episode 1 of season 3, we talked about New Orleans. I've got Andy, I've got Adam here. Had a few guys that went with us on the trip last time, and going with that same sort of theme is what we're going to start off with this week. We are recording this week from the Booker's Bar and Grill in Kirkland, Indiana. It's right off of 421. They've been so nice to give us their back room and a real quiet spot for us to record. With me at the table now, we've got Adam Klingensmith, who you guys know. We've got Steve Durham. You may confuse with Boomhauer from King of the Hill, but he's actually an area manager for Sherco. He covers
in New Orleans.
yeah. He covers most of Indianapolis and the South Side, even into Shelby County and Johnson County as well. And then we've got Jake Klinger. I'll let him introduce himself here in a few minutes. We also have Ashley Godby here with us. She is the office manager for Sherco. And then we have Andy Shirley, the president of Sherco, who you guys know as well. So that's who is recording with us today. And we're going to get into talking more about New Orleans here and just get some different perspectives. We also have some TikTok comments that we've seen on some of our videos, and they're really just some of the stupider ones that we're going to address. We wanted to kind of address these in the heat of the moment, but that never ends up going well, so we're going to save them and kind of address them now. But before we really get going in earnest and talking about things, I want to give a moment for Steve and Jake and Ashley to kind of properly introduce themselves, and we'll get going from there. So whoever wants to jump in first.
Ladies first.
Oh, thanks. My name is Ashley Godby. I'm the office manager. I run the snow division side of Sherco Group. Been running this since day one when we started this with Andy about 11 years ago.
Very nice. And who's next?
My name is Jake Klingler. I am a area manager for South Central Hamilton County, Douglasville Fishers area. I've been in this with Andy and Ashley and now Adam for right around 7 years.
Very nice. Very nice.
And I'm Boomhauer, better known as Steve Durham, area manager for the Indianapolis, Hendricks, Shelby County area. Been doing this since
day one,
man. But Andy, we were just talking about how we used to do everything on notepads, but now we've made it to this level.
Yellow paper and our contracts were on napkins.
That's what we had to do.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, so glad you guys could make the time to join us and, help just make this podcast something better. I think when, we got everybody involved, it makes for a really awesome product for our listeners. So again, last week, won't go over too much of what we already talked about, but just in case you're listening to this episode and didn't listen to the previous one, it was a couple weeks ago now. We went down to the Gulf Coast, to chase a winter storm, without really knowing what we get into, where we were even really trying to go at first. But ended up, finding a tremendous opportunity with the city of New Orleans. And working with different parishes down there to help restore order on city streets, airports, and eventually highways, interstates. So really cool, unique opportunity. I think unique was said quite a few times last week, as this has never been done before. We were the first group of snow fighters to ever plow in New Orleans, and most of us do because they don't get any snow ever. So I think the last time they had any what we would consider to be plowable snow was in 1895, and they had about 2.3 inches of snow back then.
So how much of that stuck?
Well, so what's been going through my mind is, you know, because part of this is we can only go back so far because weather records only exist so far.
Same pictures.
You know, so we, yeah, right. So we get, you know, how much further past into the 1800s, 1700s or whatever, where they may have had something like this happen before. You know, we look at it from our kind of shortened vantage point on history and say that, oh, it's never happened. But you would think it would at some point. And then honestly, one of the questions I have on here, I guess we'll start with this first, because why not? We're already here. So do you think this storm, and this is for anybody to answer, but do you think this storm was an anomaly in the weather pattern? Or do you think that this might be a sign of things to come? Not to say that New Orleans would be, you know, hit every year, every couple of years, but you know, do you think over the next 10 years, might this be something that happens again once or twice?
I think it'll be back. Look at Tennessee. Look at Nashville, Tennessee. 10 years ago, they never seen snow. We have contracts in Nashville. I've been there the last 3 years on a couple of years, more snow than we had in Indiana. So I think the trend and the pattern is moving south.
It's global warming.
The polar vortex is dropping farther south than they have ever before. Or if you, we have to pay attention to all this stupid stuff like the weather and things like how that stuff works.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, it really it is. People laugh, but it's, I mean, people laugh to us going to New Orleans. You know, I laughed all the way home.
Just as much as, like, look at Asheville and southeastern Tennessee and northwestern North Carolina, nobody would have thought the flooding that happened back in September would have. Everybody thought that was a big hoax, but turns out I spent 3 weeks down there.
I remember when I was a kid, and I think this was before all the teachers started teaching differently, but I had a teacher that says in 40 years, we're going to see snow consistent in Florida, and it's going to be warmer here. And I just kind of, as a kid, you know, like laugh. But it's like, that's one thing that I keep thinking back to now. It's like, I was in New Orleans. Plowing snow.
But 2-3 years ago, we were in West Virginia, North Carolina, plowing snow. Yeah. Virginia Beach. Or,
it's like every
you did two ice storms in North Carolina.
Two of them back to back in North Carolina in the same week.
Yeah. So I think it's more of a trend coming.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, you can make the argument that if you took kind of a cone shape and extended it, you know, maybe east, slightly northeast out of eastern Texas, you know, through some of the Dixie South, up into the Tennessee, Arkansas area, out to the Carolinas, and that would encompass, you know, Georgia too. That over the last, I don't know, like we're talking, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, that you're almost guaranteed that, you know, one of those areas in that cone is going to get hit by some sort of winter weather almost every year now. And again, I mean, this is just a bunch of hillbillies talking about, you know, things that we didn't go to school for, but as, you know, snow professionals, though, it's definitely something that we notice. And as being, you know,
follow the numbers,
members of the team that, you know, travels and, you know, we have independently, we have as a group, you do pay attention to, you know, weather trends outside of the general area you cover. So, you know, yeah, we're all here in Indiana, but, you know, we regularly watch the weather all over the country to see what's going on, especially winter weather heading into the South. So, yeah, just, you know, kind of an interesting question I wanted to get your take on, just because, you know, I think people say global warming. You know, I've asked this to a bunch of different meteorologists over the years, and, you know, sometimes people think global warming is just going to get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and you're not going to have any snow anymore. And really what it comes down to for that is that you have more violent swings in those weather patterns. And that's generally what happens. So, you know, you look at what just happened in New Orleans, and I mean, this is a, you know, pretty violent swing of, as Steve mentioned, the polar vortex. And again, with that vortex, you know, came, came a storm system and gave us what we had. So very, very interesting topic to kind of go along with this whole thing. But let's jump back and, you know, kind of talk about this whole New Orleans thing a little bit more. So, you know,
let's talk about where we were going to New Orleans to begin
with. Well, yeah, we got to give the credit to all of us, as a group, we gave the credit.
Yeah,
we got to the exit, and we were typically or actually heading to Florida.
Yeah,
or Mobile, Alabama, was where we were going to station and go which way we wanted from there. And then Levi called and said they issued a blizzard warning there over the radio. I said, hey, I'm going that way. Where are you going? And then we had 7 miles to make a decision. We got that exit, still hadn't made a decision.
We had an outlaw of trucks.
Went over half mile up side of the highway, and then we went that way and got lucky with our decision. So.
Yeah, no, I think Birmingham, I mean, it's a pretty small city, and from the north side of Birmingham to the south side, we pretty much made up our mind in that little five-minute span. But yeah, no, we talked about you last week, Steve, where, you know, again, it was ultimately, you know, you watching the weather and Andy watching the weather and saying, hey, you know, if we're going down here to chase snow and plow snow, you know, we need to be headed over to Louisiana. And,
my thought of it is go to the deepest area with the most coming, and you can always work your way out, because if you start in the smallest area, by the time you would get there, if you're doing it as a business, you'd want to take the biggest bite you can, you know. But if you're, why go to Mobile or Florida when they just call for a blizzard warning somewhere that's within 2.5 hours where you were going to station anyway?
Like we got to Birmingham, and it was west for a snow fight or south and east for an ice fight, which most of us were geared up for an ice fight rather than a snow fight. But I'm glad we went where we did, because
it ended up being Florida ended up getting 8 inches of snow too.
Yeah.
So that's just something else that we learned, you know, something along that coast, if it ever happens again, it's going to pull off the Gulf of America and just keep building.
Lake effect snow and Lake Michigan, for a lot of people probably listening, they understand that. And it's the exact same thing that happened there. So
yeah, it was a very unique snow environment.
I'd do it again.
You know, it was wild. That's for sure.
I mean, the winds coming in off the Gulf. That moisture that was available, I'm sure, was tapped into. Again, I was one that thought the Gulf would help kind of keep it off the coast and maybe push it a little bit north, and maybe, you know, some of that would erode some of the snow totals. But actually, it played just the opposite.
They hammered right on.
Yeah, it did. Yeah,
it was wild on the drive in too. You're clear highways, you're not seeing nothing, then all of a sudden, you're
30 miles made a couple of flurries for 5 inches.
85 miles.
Crossing the bridge, we went from a quarter inch to 5, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think that all had to do with those bayous and that lake effect.
Yeah.
With salt the bayou down there and then getting closer to the coast. And
Where we first staged, from where we first staged when we got off of the bridge off of 11 to right downtown New Orleans, when we were headed to City Hall where we were staged at, I got out of my truck and I standing there and I was just kind of observing it, taking it in, like, I can't believe we're here and it's doing this. And the way the winds were coming off, the way the winds were coming off the Gulf versus, and, you know, coming off the Lake Pontchartrain that was right around us, it would look like I stand in the middle of a tornado. Mm-hmm. It was whipping so hard that it was, you know, you couldn't see the next building.
We was standing on the 9th floor of City Hall, and that wind was blowing so hard I couldn't see the building across the street at one point.
On the road.
And I knew then it was the real deal. And I've never been to New Orleans, so it was different for me. If I would have been to Panama City, I've been there on vacation in the summer, I'd probably been more amazed. But to me, this was, other than the roads and the way the roads were laid out, I would have thought this was in Chicago.
And a lot of people don't realize how elevated the roads are in New Orleans. You know, 90% of that community depends on a bridge to get home.
Yeah.
There was people living in gas stations for 2 to 3 days because they couldn't cross a bridge or McDonald's, or it was the people that worked there. You know, they hadn't been home because they had to. Me and Jack stopped on the third day at 4 in the morning, I think, to get fuel. And we go in and get a drink or whatever. Well, the doors are locked. The guy unlocks them. He's got 4 hoodies on, and they don't have no heat in his gas station. He goes, I've been here for 2 days. You guys go clean the bridge. You know, that's not on us. That's DOT.
We were sitting there when we first got there. We were waiting, hanging out. We were staged, and we went to Waffle House. Me and my assistant Jordan and Jack and Eden with Andy's kids, and we're staying in Waffle House. And these people are like, look like they've been held up there for a couple of days. And we walk in, you know, we're in sweatshirts and blue jeans and tennis shoes. And they're like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, this is like another Tuesday to us. And they're like, we've been here. We've watched it come in, and we've been here since it started. And we're probably going to be here until it's gone. And we're just sitting there eating mound down. And they're like, this doesn't affect you guys? This doesn't bother you guys? And we're like, not really. You had one of the hires for the New Orleans Police Department in there. He's like, we ain't never seen nothing like this in 100 years. And it's like,
must have been an old dude.
A lot you got to think about down there, too, is their vehicles, that they're just not prepared to two-wheel drive.
Yeah.
You know, front-wheel drive car does good in snow here, but we're used to it. Those people jump in that car, and they're doing donuts as soon as they hit the gas in the parking lot because they just don't know how to drive on it, you know.
And it's something we talked about, you know, on the last episode was how awesome it was that so many people stayed the fuck off the road.
You didn't see anybody.
No.
Then when they told them to stay home, they stayed home. And then so I had a chaperone that got on the road with us to show us the road when we were
doing road with you. So that was on his bucket list, didn't he?
So his bucket list was to go up north and sit through a snowstorm, just see how it worked and everything. Yeah. He called his wife and was in the truck with me. He said, my baby. You know, that's what they say down there. And he says, I don't have to go north no more. I'm in the middle of a snowstorm. I'm sitting in a plow truck, and this is crazy.
Yeah, he rode with Steve because he's like, I've always wanted to ride in a plow truck. Yeah. So he didn't lead. He just rode with Steve.
He just rode with me and showed me where to go because that's how it worked down there. And they would put a lead truck of the four-wheel drive truck that they did have down there and, you know, head out the group of plow trucks that was in that area. And it worked great that way, but
it's faster than
a man. He told me at 6 years old in 1963 at 2.4 inches, and he's got pictures of him playing snow in it down there. But that was the last snow that he had knew in 1963. It was just a little over 2 inches. And the one that Levi, I think you were talking about in 1800s, he said that was the one that was bigger than that one.
Okay.
So that's where their totals come from. It was neat talking to that guy.
It was almost like watching them, like, you know, we're from the Midwest. We're all about tornadoes and our storms here, you know. People from here go out left and go right through tornadoes and stuff. It was, everybody down there was, like, blown away because they were going through something that we go through on a, you know, sometimes a weekly basis here. And they're, like, they may see it once in their lifetime. It was kind of crazy just watching the expressions as you were driving down the road, you know.
For a while, it looked like the trailer park when the storm siren goes off.
Yeah.
Or when an ambulance pulls in the place.
Yeah.
And here they get mad when you plow them in. They would give you a high five if you plowed the road and covered the driveway up. They just shovel because they wanted to shovel more snow. They just thought it was cool to be out there shoveling. Our, you know, here people hate it. But
when we showed up, it was like we were in a parade. Everybody was clapping and screaming and yelling for us. We were downtown Canal Street. It was like it was awesome. Just an awesome feeling knowing that, like, everybody was just so appreciative of just being there. You know,
for a while, it was like he was in a parade.
Yeah.
I came out, you know, we had all parked down the road in a parking spot that the hotel had told us that's where we had to park. And I get a love letter on my windshield one day. It's, I love you guys. Thank you for coming, you know, and we appreciate you for being here. And, you know,
that was Jake.
Yeah. It was a female name, right? You could tell, you know, had little hearts on the eyes.
Well, that's the one who said, well.
It's like here, you know, people hate us because we're doing our job, but down there.
Well, they heard your nickname was Yardstick.
They don't call me for no reason. Got that old name, Tommy St. John.
Old Yardstick.
I was scratching my knee, but even down there, I was confused because I speak Boomhauer, and they had me confused. The wording's so different, and the way they talk is so fast, and they just, it's not that they speak different language, but it's just the wording, like, what's hey buddy to us is my baby down there. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, there's so many different terms of. It just showed you how far off.
Like the median, like what she was saying, they call the common area or something like that. Yeah.
For the county lines being the state lines, that threw me for a jet on this loop.
Well, no, a county is called a parish, you know, it all goes back
to the French. It's not a word into that. It's not a, what do they call it, the president of the parish. It's not like the mayor.
Yeah, well, we have a governor, mayor, or whatever in that area. They have a president, you know.
Yeah.
And those presidents like to go to war down there.
Yeah,
who has
do.
The biggest change?
Yeah, and I was reading on the parish thing. It's actually La Parish.
63 instead of 63
in the war. Yeah, if you looked up La Mafia. It's not a lot of difference. It's just La.
Yeah.
It's like in Canadian they have an A, and down there they have La.
French, not too creative.
No.
All right, so tell me. So describe kind of the moment you realized just how severe this storm was for the city. I know we talked a little bit about this, but was there a moment in particular that just kind of dawned on you, like, holy shit, these people don't know what they're in for. You know, this is, you know, and really, I mean, for what we're asked to do, even with 30 trucks. I mean, we don't have the resources to adequately fight this.
When I realized that the ground temperature wasn't in our favor and we started getting hard pack,
mm-hmm.
I realized how serious it was going to be.
Yeah.
And
has to do with that elevation down there.
It does. And I didn't take that into factor. Like I said, I've never been down there. And even 40 degrees with wind chill and the elevation on a bridge and
ground temperature, you know,
it was just a lot different than what I kind of anticipated. And I started calling for salt early. I said, we're going to need more material than what we think.
Well, you and I told you, I think we're good now.
Oh, and then we get our material there. How many pounds did they say they was getting? Cause they go by pounds, not tons.
Yeah. So I thought they had told us like 250,000 pounds at one point.
Yeah, 250,000.
They had 10,000 pounds because I go.
And I told Jake, hey, they just got the salt. You can go back there and load. And he backs in. He calls me. He's like, we got an issue. They have four skids. I said,
we got 10,000 pounds of salt. We got a problem.
Bag salt. Right.
2,500 pounds of
bag salt. So then I'm like, all right. So then I start finding out, and I talk to Keenan, and he's like, yeah. He said we sent three trucks, and he said. The first one got there and they said they'd gotten rid of all their bulk, that one of the parishes bought it all, which was the same one you was getting.
That must have been the cocaine salt. I it would literally look like table salt.
Yeah.
And when you would spread it, the crackhead down there had little straws and it climbed up on the road. No, really, but that, I mean, it literally looked like you were throwing baby powder out of the back of a spreader. Oh. And the stuff worked great.
Yeah.
You know?
It just didn't last long.
It didn't last long, but it worked right then. And then if you could get right back on it, you were good.
The shit they gave us was so big and bulky. The bag I seen had an expiration date on it from like 99.
Yeah.
It had been sitting so long. It was so hard. I had to get out and like override my spreader to even get it to turn it because it was so heavy.
It jammed yours up and
it locked me up tight.
We went through all that the first night, and then the second night they got us four more skids. So I think we put them on and we ended up running that out. And
must have been from this century.
I had told Andy when we were sitting there. And we staged, I think there was eight of us or whatever, like concentrating, you guys went on into City Hall. I told you right then, I said, with that wind, that ground temperature, it's melting underneath. I said, they got about 4 or 5 hours to get a hold of this. And if not, they're going to be in trouble. And it was gone.
Yeah.
But anybody, back to Levi's original question, if you've ever been to New Orleans, that place is busy. Like, it's not a slow, dead city. I've never been there.
I don't think anybody but you.
Something
have.
Going on, moving, people walking, you know, and this or that. And
nothing.
I knew we were in trouble when I pulled into City Hall, and is from where we had came from Pontchartrain to there. The only people we saw were the four cops that pulled us over in St. Bernard Parish that wanted us to stay there. And you didn't see anybody. And but they had called for the blizzard and told people to stay in. And, you don't realize the impact of it until you get there and see it. You know, like, where is everybody? It's like a ghost town for New Orleans.
Yeah, see, I didn't know any different. But then the last day was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so different. And that was probably a third of the people.
I was going to say, it wasn't much. That's it was just people getting out. That, you know,
that's probably a third of
what I wanted to deal with.
Yeah. Well, that was because of,
we knew.
That was like Castle and Mall on Friday during Black Friday, you know?
I don't know how it affected their...
Even the homeless stayed home.
Even their... So, you know, that's a big port there, too. A lot of people don't think of, but you have like all of, like Carnival Cruise Line has a huge port there. And I've taken a cruise out of there, so and I saw many people going out, and that place was ghost town. So, how did that affect their businesses? Oh, yeah. You know, just everybody got impacted by that down there. So,
yeah, you go from the first couple of days we were there, they can usually say, you know, stay home, don't go out, this, that, it's hazardous. So, the last day, they were like, well, you know, I was watching news Thursday morning, and it was like, I was listening to it, and they're like, you know, if the snowfall stopped or we've got crews clearing the roads, go out and enjoy it because you might never see it again. And it was like everybody just flocked right back out.
Yeah, everybody was out.
But for the most part, people were walking, though, especially in the first couple of days.
Yeah, probably 80%.
The first 2 days, the last day.
You know, at chance taking the car. Noon, they just wanted to walk.
The last day at noon, it started going downhill after that.
I think I contacted Fox when I was watching the news. That rode around with you in the truck, he said to ask him how much travel he had seen on the road. It was the first day, and he said, well, most of it's walking or cardboard. They don't sell sleds. They don't have things like that. So they find a big piece of cardboard and slide down it. They're dragging kids down the road on a piece of cardboard. Or it's wild.
I seen a guy on a pair of water skis. He was skiing down Canal Street.
Yeah, I saw something on the news. Kids were using cardboard and taking it down like steps.
Mm-hmm.
And, bing, bing, bing. Right. It's like, hills there, but yeah.
Well, I mean, how bad were the steps at City Hall when you guys got there? And that's their main.
I about fell. About eat shit on the way out.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
I looked at him and I says, oh, I said, that's about another 50 grand.
When we first got there, we were station, I think it was station four, right off an alley. And we got there and I watched this fire truck, you know, being in the fire service. I watched this fire truck. They slid sideways completely down this two-lane road out to the main road to respond. We went, when we come back, I just, you know, dropped my blade and rolled it off. And they were, that's when they got back, because they had a two, their apron, they had a 2x4, like, looked like a concrete street. And this guy's out here raking the, like 6 inches of snow off with a 2x4 concrete street looking thing. And I'm like,
Steve plowed at fire station for him. When he was backing in,
I don't know. When I got done plowing out, a lady had came out very friendly, you know, just thanking us and whatever they were cooking at that fire station. I'm meat and potatoes kind of guy. But whatever she came out and said that was, that probably the best smelling food I've ever smelled in my life. You know what I mean? And she offered us to come in. I said, if you got enough for thirst guys, we're coming. And she said, oh, I don't know. So I didn't, you know, I just moved on. But I mean, they did offer, you know, everybody was super friendly. Anybody you met down there.
It was a lot different than what we used to.
Yeah, just amazing. The people were, I mean.
No, I never heard one horn honk once when we were getting escalated.
I did. Just, but they were honking the wave, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't no hurry up, get out of the way, you know.
Yeah, the very last day, they took us out in the middle of rush hour after people have been.
Yeah, and then you got honking and stuff like that.
They've been stuck in their house for 3 days. They're trying to get back to work or do their errands or run whatever. And they take us right through the middle of downtown New Orleans, right outside the
house. Well, and it was 5 minutes before they opened 10, and we just pulled off at 10, and it's like they opened it. Like, I think everybody was sitting at the gates waiting. They wanted to get the hell out.
I don't know what the issue was between the DOT, the state, and the city of New Orleans. The city of New Orleans is clean. You know, for probably 80% of the roads were clean. We did them.
Yeah.
But you're sitting here looking at highways that people can't get on. Because they didn't do their job. I mean, they don't know how to do it. They had 1 6-foot plow on a half-ton pickup truck.
Yeah,
it looked like you bought off a female. You know, it
Wayfarer.
It was like, yeah, it was like a V, but it was like a 10-degree V on each side.
I think that's just where they wax.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's where it got bent.
But it was one of them $900 plows you buy.
I mean, the guy had a crank handle on the mirror. It turned right and left, you know. They're just not, they're just not ready for things like that. That was literally the plow you saw out on the highways, and they had one road grader. And he would be going up the ramps, and obviously they'd curve around or whatever. And the thing would be sideways because he couldn't get enough traction because it froze underneath.
And they use that skid steer and push it off to the side and just dump a pile.
Yeah, the second day out there was an open cab backhoe and open cab skid steer, which is what they use down there. It's not out of realm down there. And the guy would scoop up a pile. He would drive 100 yards down to put it on a pile. Not just shove it. You know, they're just so different. They don't know how to move it. They're not. Their capabilities just aren't there because they don't do it. If they did, they'd be aware. And we need guys like us. So.
They had some people that had like a turf broom down there. On
the give it any rocket science.
That was blowing my mind. Like, we're sitting on a bridge that's completely clean. It was the very first bridge they asked was clean because that was a medical access, I think, for the ambulances and fire to get to the hospital. But that was the main deal there. And then right across, which it's the same highway, they're separated and they're all bridges. And right across from there, 2 days after they're starting to clean that bridge, you know, it was wild that they never would have cleaned that.
Yep. And again, you know, when we got down there, one of the first things we told the city, which, you know, again, we didn't know who was in charge of what necessarily, but was that, you know, we want to, you know, take I-10, you know, like we're trying to be on whatever is going to be the most impactful. And, you know, again, I'm not, you know, I don't want to overspeak here, but, you know, it seemed to be that the DOT was telling people that, you know, they had it under control, that they were confident in what they were doing.
Yeah, they definitely did.
And
it was even on the news at that.
Yeah, you know, and for us, I mean, being out there, you know, doing what we were doing, but then kind of just, you know, whether it was driving by or just kind of glancing over at something and then seeing, you know, what we were seeing, it was like, oh, you know, these guys don't have anything.
They
done
nothing.
And, but yeah, so, you know, eventually they, you know, brought us in to help on those roads, but still, you know, it was something that, I think that it would have probably been a smart play, and I don't know whose call it would have been, but, you know, to maybe have, you know, us talk to some of these DOT guys and, you know, just kind of explain, hey man, this is what you want to be doing.
I don't think they would have talked. They didn't like us too.
No,
they didn't like us because we were making them look terrible.
Yeah, but that's not my fault.
No, it wasn't our fault by no means. But here's the thing:
with them was when Murray and we were on I-10 cleaning the last overpass. It was like 3:25, and they said, "Hey, we're opening this thing. We're opening this thing at 3:30. Make sure you guys' trucks are off here at 3:30. Is it passable?" I talked with Andy, and he talked with our city escort, and I mean, if that's all you're giving us till 3:30, I mean, we've got line to line and four lanes. Could have.
We were scared.
If you're going to tell us we have to be done, we'll have to be done.
Just the I-10. That's not counting the 5-10, the 6-10, all the other little off ramps, and it's not like here where you'd get off on a ramp and then you can just spin around and get on another ramp. You got to go 3/4 mile to get back on the opposite. But just the I-10 is 18.5 miles for one lane. And it's all elevated.
Yep.
And then not just do you get the eastbound done, then you got to take all those trucks running again if you didn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of how much 4-foot drift, 2-foot drift, whatever you had. And then you got walls on both sides that you can't throw it over. And then if you get all that done, then you got to get to the westbound lanes. And they could bring us in with 2.5 days after it had snowed, I think.
It was hard. I mean, we were taking 3-4 foot bites. In some places, 4 foot bites, but most of it, you were taking 24
and
inches.
And then the chaperone they have for the DOT was just awful. You know, he dumps on a highway and he runs 65 mile an hour. He's got plow trucks running 15 behind you that, and
or they're running like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And even all the stuff.
And then the problem is when you got to the edges, you had to slow down with those trucks so they'd get a mile up ahead of you. And we had no idea where they got off, what exit, this or that. And
could you imagine hitting an expansion joint at 65?
Oh, that's what they don't understand. So every 20 feet, 30 feet, there's an expansion joint in these bridges. And I don't care if you put your plow in float. I don't care what you're doing down there. It doesn't work so nice.
Some of them's 2 inches higher than the others. The bridge, one side of the bridge would be 2 inches higher than the other. It didn't matter.
So yeah,
we did the first
bridge. You could go through five and you'd whack one.
We did the first bridge. And instead of getting off and going all the way around, it was shut down at the time, so it's no big deal. We turned around and came back. And it was actually easier to plow it if it was an eastbound ramp or eastbound highway to come from the west back to the east because the expansion joints, you slid over. You never even felt them.
Yeah.
And it was so much easier on equipment. Hit, and you jack, mark up, you know, we have four or five of us, and we didn't clean that bridge. And that's why it got so clean so quick. We turned around and just went the opposite way. And plowed it that way, but it's middle of night, shut down anyway, so
yeah.
But it was just for the emergency. But yeah, we found that out, and it was way
out. We lost everybody. You and I ended up running,
running
and just in the eastbound lane. Me, you, and Jordan did.
I just turned around.
Yeah,
it's the easiest way to do it.
But when you only have, say, five trucks out there, you have four lanes, you're not getting all four lanes, so you go one way and they turn around, spin back, shove it the rest of the way, do whatever until you get it clean. Just those expansion joints were a tear down there on equipment.
What'd you think? You was up here, but did you do anything? I didn't hear from you the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whatever. I was getting phone calls, dealing with news crews calling, dealing with interviews, and a lot of emails that working with Homeland Security down there, trying to get paperwork done.
Did it add a lot to your plate, like on top of your north?
Right, yeah, because we had other stuff. We had some salt events going on up here while you guys were down there, so it kept us pretty busy. And then, the week before you guys went down, we had the storms up here that I was, still hashing out with customers and getting the billing done, just trying to keep everything afloat and getting, invoicing done and all the things that keep the company going. I think Adam had salt coming in still. We were trying to get stock supply back up and just getting you guys supplies down there, getting people to go down there to help out at the end. So kept us pretty busy.
Yeah, you was quiet, so I figured maybe you went on vacation or something.
I don't have a radio to interact with none of y'all on purpose.
It was amazing she didn't have that because we talked so much shit about her.
deduction.
Like I get paid for it. The biggest thing was the guys that did stay back. I mean, we can't go chase these
storms. We didn't have to worry. Adam took care of it.
Take people's money or whatever these haters want to say. It's a business at the end of the day. If you don't go where the work is, it's your own fault,
Yeah, and speaking of the haters, speaking of our work on I-10, so I posted a video on TikTok. I took a drone video of our crews, working through I-10. Not even really sure where it was. I think it was near like I-10, 610 split, somewhere close to that. Anyway, but I jotted down a few of my favorite dumb comments that I saw on that video. And it really amazes me how stupid people fucking are.
Half these idiots probably don't know that was 3 days after the snow had hit. No, it hard packed and they have no idea what you're fighting.
And like, some of it, critiquing 14 trucks doing the job that, seven could have took, like, we know that, but we weren't in charge of that, So like, it wasn't our call to have 14 trucks lining up going down the fucking interstate.
It worked great though.
It did. Yeah. No, phenomenal. But, okay. So first one here is, from dude, Nate, just named Tim. That's his fucking username. So two graders would have spanned the entire interstate and just done it slower.
Okay. Yeah, I bet it would have. If you had two graders, dumbass, like trucks.
I want a grader. The grader's 12 foot
wide. Was it 12 foot lane? You got 70 foot wide lane.
Not to mention, trucking from Indiana to take it down there would have took a lot longer. It'd cost a lot more,
Well, the DOT had graders.
I was going to
say.
Yeah,
but those, I wouldn't even count them as graders. Those was like
12 foot graders. They were good sized graders, but guess what? They couldn't even handle a ranch down there, let alone get them on the damn lanes and say
graders were not the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, it's all speaking about your grader. When we were at the DPW house meet, we were at the storehouse meet. Did you see the grader that was sitting there with bald tires? They said it got hung up on the ice and they burnt the tread off the tire.
That's the one that was on that ramp that was sideways.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing for Tim. Why do I need graders when I charge the same amount for pickup trucks?
Tim, why were you...
I make the same amount of money.
We were making a bunch of money.
Did he have a loader or a grader to bring down here to help out?
It didn't sound like it. You know, just some commentary.
Yeah, once again, somebody else does my job better than me.
Up to the next guy.
Yeah. So next one, this is from Crash Ball.
Oh, that sounds like a hell of a name.
Yeah. So, Crash Ball. His comment is that we sent the baby plows.
What is it?
We sent the baby plows.
Well, who did he send? Because he didn't send me. I don't know. Let's look at this statistically. I sent the non-CDL plows, so I don't have to take 12-hour breaks.
12-hour breaks. We didn't stop.
I take 12-hour breaks. We don't have to stop at weigh stations. We're not hauling over 25,000.
And I think the most important part is we're not the fucking DOT.
Right. Yeah,
we're not
down
DOT.
There to do we didn't exactly. go down there to do parking lots. We went down to do parking lots. We just landed with the city because we do cities.
We had half-ass up in the air contracts, depending on where it hit, to do storefronts and things like that.
Well, once again, a pickup truck made the same amount as a big dump truck would. So what the hell does it even matter?
It cost a third of the overhead.
Yeah. Did you guys ever see the small balls down there?
Who?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. It's just people running their mouth.
Keyboard warriors.
We had four-wheel drive, one-ton pickups. We saw. You'd have taken single axle with a 12-foot plow on it. They have spreaders. They got sand, but they have no way to put it down.
Well, they've got dump truck tri-axles down there with one-ton salt spreaders.
Yeah.
Why would we have spent that kind of money to take stuff down because we was doing parking lots?
Right. Like
that. I mean,
If we didn't go down there to plow highways, and two-lane roads, fine. All day long with regular pickup trucks. Hell, the cities here hire us to do that because you can't get the big trucks down some of them roads. Ultimately, we didn't plan to do DOT highways or ramps.
Could you imagine hitting an expansion joint with one of them county or big state?
I should have took my
3,000-pound plows. Well, I mean,
we literally have a 24-foot plow sitting over there to do airport runways with, so we took that with us.
If I would have known we was doing the airport, but then again, we did it. Trucks and
we did an airport with four trucks.
Yeah, and it was open in 11 hours.
Yeah, still got it done pretty damn fast.
Yeah.
All right. So this one is from a guy or someone named RC. Had a lot of people.
Sounds like he plays with remote control cars.
Yeah. Had a lot of people confused as why the post said Midwestern, but we were operating in Louisiana. So this dude was Midwesterner, I-5 and I-10, which, I mean, obviously...
It was where we were based out of.
A group of Midwestern snow fighters traveled down. So a lot of these people just can't fucking read. But
fine. Gulf Coast snow fighters.
Right, yeah. Right.
Everybody has a comment.
A lot of people commented wanting to know like when we were going to clear the exits because we were just driving past them. But that's just, I mean, that's part of the process of how it's done.
Well, and then you got to go back to the DOT. So once they hired
the road, the road was closed down.
They kept the ramps not plowed to keep people off of the highway while we were working. DOT was supposed to come behind us. This is in the so we did another parish too, which is not New Orleans, Jefferson Parish, which is where I was at most of the storm. Anyway, we did it. We plowed it off, and DOT was supposed to come back to the ranch, and that would open it up as it came available, and they didn't do that. So we ended up going back and doing all the ramps because they couldn't even handle doing the ramps. So, they didn't get done for a reason.
Yeah.
It was to keep people off the road.
It wasn't our fault. It was only.
Yeah. I mean, like here at home, what do we do first? Our highway. You know, that's their main, that's just how it works. Usually we do this, highways, primary thoroughfares, secondary streets,
alternates,
alternates.
We're not going to apply your alley.
But down there, it was done totally backwards. Mm-hmm. But it was because of the way the cities or parishes and the DOT were working or not working together. We don't.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with keeping people out of the city, off of the interstate, from other areas to come.
Well, they were told to go. If they got stuck in these places, they were told to go home. And that if you were caught on the road, it was a fine. Or which I tell the same thing here, but you know, us idiots up here.
Well, we're allowed to.
We can do it.
See, one down there, though, when they say, hey, blizzard, stay home, everybody's like, okay, cool. You get it up here, you get a blizzard, they're like, oh, I can drive in this, and you still got to fight it. They want to fight
it. Let's see if Walmart's open.
I got to go to the store.
Well, even Walmart down there was closed, I'll tell you. For 2-3 days, and they got robbed. Somebody robbed him. It was on the news. I saw up in a Walmart, what during the blizzard, and
some guy hired 2 road graders. I think I see somewhere where somebody said
it was Tim.
Tim. They closed 10 Walmarts or something right across that region, and it cost them like $65 million.
Yep. From that.
Good call, Walmart.
Well, they had that choice. They made their bed lying. I mean,
they really didn't have a choice because the city shut down the businesses and everything. It wasn't just they were shutting down. Homeowners or people that live there, it was the businesses were shut down. We didn't eat for 2 days. Whatever snacks you had in your truck, I mean,
the city was feeding some of you.
Yeah, I mean,
you had to show up.
Well, that we were 40 miles away from you guys, and we got the meal. But it was just 2 days later, and had mold on it. But
I thought you had a private chef.
Yeah, you guys had a private chef.
Well, they wouldn't fix him a hamburger plain with no cheese.
Okay.
But we had talked about that on the way down. Same diet. When we stopped at the station on the way down. Remember, we were talking about, hey, we've done this before. You can get snacks now, get what you need.
Yeah. I wish some guys, I think wish they would have listened.
No, for sure.
Some of them are like,
I did.
We good.
I kept that barbecue sandwich. I found it in the back seat 4 days later.
Threw it up on deep fryer.
No, I actually.
The penicillin off
to the homeless guy there.
The homeless guy that built an igloo out of a snow pile.
Very lips green. Oh, I don't know. It was the mold off that sandwich in the back seat.
I bet it was.
Did you bring that blade back or did you leave it down there?
No, we brought it back.
I picked it up. I picked it up. I chained it to the front of my snowplow. I picked it up and was driving through downtown New Orleans with 2 blades hooked to the front of my
car. It had a parking sticker on it, too.
It had an impound sticker on it. I'm like, can't fuck this. I ripped it off and stuck it to the post office mailbox.
That lady at the hotel says they're going to tow your trucks. And then the cop comes by. Can I get a bag of salt? I said, if you don't tow our trucks.
I said, yeah. They called me on the radio because I have bag salt in the bed of my dually. Just in case we needed something else, we took to fight the storm wherever we went. And I said, yeah, tell that cop it's $100 a bag. And then he goes, well, they're not going to tow our trucks. I said, tell them it's free.
We didn't get towed.
We didn't get towed.
Well, and the best part of this was, go back to the hotel. Hey, you can't park there. All right, where do you want to park? 1/2 mile down the road.
I said, your ass.
Well, I said, you can park right here on the road. So we plowed all the snow right to the entrance of the hotel. Right there on the road.
We get down to this parking lot, me and Levi do. And Levi's like, well, shit, we can park here. We got to plow our fucking way in first.
Yeah, now they're about a foot of snow in the parking lot.
And you walk through 8 inches of snow down the sidewalk that's ice, and I busted my ass first night. I'm like, the hell with this. I'm parking right out here on this one-way street. I'm over it.
All right, so we're going to wind this episode down, running short on time. One last comment. This is a good one, though, from Big Hitter 319. It says, when the country's in trouble, always call the Midwesterners. And I think that's been proven time and time again. Probably.
That's pretty cool. I like him. Yeah. And reach out again. Maybe, get some kind of experience or something like that. Might be an addition to the team. Never know.
Yep.
You could be a veteran or past or have some sort of knowledge.
All right. So this winds down episode 2, season 3 of the White Gold Podcast. We'll have our third episode coming to you. I'm probably going to do something similar as we've done for the first couple episodes and just bring in a few more people. I think we want to get Alan and Russell, not Aaron and Russell, but Alan and Russell. I called Alan Aaron 47 times last week and didn't mean to, but
it's the A's.
It really is something. I don't know what it is, but so Alan and Russell. Next week, hopefully to talk about the airport stuff, because, between both of those guys, they're doing literally, no pun intended, I mean, plowing their way through and just doing an awesome job with, you know, a few different airports now, and which, you know, is just going to help take Sherco to new heights just from what they're doing alone. So we definitely want to get those two guys on. But really appreciated having Steve on today, Jake, Ashley. Hopefully you can understand Steve. If not, maybe some sort of like, you know, Cajun transcript thing or something and post somewhere for you guys. Yeah, no, he didn't do too bad. I mean, I understood most of what he said, so hopefully you do too.
Yeah, but we've been around him enough, we kind of know he's looking for this.
Why does he get subtitles?
But all right, so thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next time. Thank you.